Stress and anxiety, those are two key emotions that will get every caregiver every single time. Here are my tips on how to make those days just a little bit easier, including better ways to get a good night's sleep. Stay tuned. Hey everybody, this is Nancy May from Doing It Best with Elder Care Success, and this is a winter short. What are winter shorts? Winter shorts are tips, tricks, and ideas to get you through the short or longer winter days that might be just a little bit more tough. And every day counts. So stay tuned for this next winter short. Welcome back to another winter short. As you know, if you've listened to the first ones this year, these next few shorts, I'm diving into the emotional issues that we as caregivers are dealing with. Every day has its up and down, and ideally, there's more ups than downs. But on those down days, it can be kind of tough. I've already dealt with the emotion of anger and fear. In this episode, I'm dealing with the emotions of stress and anxiety. The two rather work hand in hand. Now, if you actually manage to navigate caring for an aging parent, a frail spouse, or a loved one, and have not had any sense of stress or anxiety, you're a rare breed indeed. And my hat's off to you. I'd like to know from you how you're getting that one done. But for the rest of us, stress and anxiety are all too familiar, and they creep into our heads and our hearts pretty much when least expected. It happened to me too, and it still does. But what exactly is stress and anxiety? We hear these terms all the time, and it might sound like a stupid question to ask, but I'm going to dive into it just so that we understand exactly what we're dealing with. Stress is a physical and emotional response to a specific situation or demand. It can rise up when you believe that the demands that you're facing exceed your ability to cope. Most of us who are caregivers are a lot stronger than we realize, and I'm going to guess your ability to cope is far beyond what you think it is at that moment in time. But still, I want you to listen just a little further. Physiologically, stress is defined as the body's physical response to some type of threat. When you believe you're facing a threat, your nervous system responds by releasing a rush of stressful hormones or stress-related hormones, including adrenaline and cortisone. These help you get ready to take fast action to fight that threat, to fight like hell, or to run like hell away from what's ever causing that physical or emotional threat. I get and understand both. Fight like hell, been there, done that. Run like hell? Oof. You know, I'm the kind that sort of runs into the fire. Hopefully, you're not burning in that fire with me. But in any case, psychologically, when somebody's extremely stressed out, they're often thought of as not being able to cope with the pressures and demands that are being placed on them. You know, that happens a lot in the workforce when we're caring for an aging parent or a loved one or even a frail spouse or a child. And sometimes our colleagues will not consider us to be competent. That's the farthest from the truth. And you need to make sure that you're aware of that along the way. I say that because 40% of us will actually quit our job to take care of a loved one. And I understand the need or desire to do so. But the problem there is what happens when you need to get back into the workforce. Sometimes we're just not strong enough to jump back in. I've had that conversation more than once. Another example is when siblings are just not able to help one another in a caregiving responsibility, or when a parent has an accident and you're 1,200 miles away and unable to get to their side to help and protect them. That causes all sorts of stress. Symptoms of stress include anxiety, worry, frustration, and overwhelm. I'm pretty sure we all know what overwhelm feels like if we've been on this caregiving path for a while. If you're just starting out, trust me, you haven't felt it yet, but you will at some point along the way. And it's okay. I'm just letting you know it's going to get there, not to freak you out. But all of these symptoms have the potential of stopping us dead in our tracks from taking any action at all. That's not good. It's rather interesting to see how other caregivers who are in high stress and high pressure situations respond differently. Some respond by digging in and taking action immediately. Focused, I say maniacally focused. I did just this when the hospital refused to take further action to address my dad's relatively new healthcare issues. That wasn't good, but it's amazing with the words, we're not going to help anymore can do to someone who knows what a parent or loved one wants, and when they can't speak for themselves. I'm saying that predominantly not to actually say this is what happened to me, but I've heard it time and time again. And if you don't know what a loved one wants, that is going to add even more pressure and stress on your ability to make a decision. Knowing what they want will enable you to actually decide to focus and fight like hell, or just say, enough is enough. I've been on both sides of that fence. After cases like that, physically, the emotional feelings do not kick in until the high stress or high demand situation has passed. When they do, you'll feel like you could sleep for days, but your eyes and your mind won't let you do so. I just want to share that because sometimes we just don't understand what's going on. And I think most of us have had that feeling of, I know my eyes are closing, but my body still keeps going, kind of like it's had 20 espressos at the same time. In that particular situation, and you need some help to just take the edge off, and if you don't need therapy, well, maybe you do, but it's something I would recommend that you do consider if you're in that particular situation. But if not, something I highly recommend are things called sound baths. Now, there are other audio technologies that you can use too, one which my friend Murray Zelkovich has done as well, and I'll put links to his show in this episode as well. But sound baths or some of the brainwave entrainment work that Murray does will just take that mental edge off. I'm pretty sure you'll go to sleep fairly quickly and fairly deeply too. I relied on both, and they both worked extremely well for me. On a positive note, the short-term response to stress can be the engine we need to keep us moving forward, a sort of internal tool that can help us cope with an immediate challenge. However, too much stress with no rest in between can lead to what's called chronic stress and burnout. When that happens, it causes all sorts of mental and physical health problems, including cardiovascular disease, anxiety disorders, depression, and even can impact our immune system. When you find yourself at the end of a stressful situation, like having gone through a 911 situation with a parent, managing doctors, and the what's next questions, ideally, getting help with establishing a clear path ahead on what to do next can help you reduce that stress and anxiety. Take time to find a quiet space to be by yourself, or to enjoy an afternoon with family or friends that will help remove you from those tough decision-making situations, just for a little while. Ideally, all the decisions have been made a few hours, if not a few days, hopefully. Tap into using sound baths just to take that stress out when you can't sleep. Or use the tool of brainwave entrainment, which my friend Murray Zelkovich uses and is an engineer on. I'll put a link to his work in the episode notes. I've used both extremely well, and they always manage to take the edge off. I've been using Murray's a lot lately. I call doing these simple little tasks a brain vacation, if only for an afternoon. Short spurts of not having to be on all the time can give your head, your heart, and your body time to recover, if only for a little bit and before the next big burst of adrenaline is needed. Remember, stress can become a chronic problem if you do not remove yourself from it from time to time. Learn and understand that asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of strength. As I like to say, we are stronger together, especially as caregivers. Caring for yourself and those you love is something that should bring you great joy at the end of the day, not stress. That's it for another short episode of Doing It Best with Elder Care Success. If you like this show, please share it with a friend, a family member, or somebody else that you meet or know who might be going through a similar situation. It can be your gift to them, because it's my gift to you. And one last thing. One simple tool that can help you through a stressful situation is the book How to Survive 911 Medical Emergencies. It's easy, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. You can find it on Amazon, and we're about to release an updated version, so stay tuned for that. Until then, please listen in to eldercaresuccess.live, and you can even share your comments or question on Elder Care Success. There's a little tab on the top right-hand side of the page of eldercaresuccess.live that says, leave Nancy a voicemail. Click on that, and a window will pop up with a button that says, Start Recording Now. I'd love to hear from you and answer your questions here on the show. We'll see you soon on YouTube, or we'll hear you soon here on the next episode of ElderCareSuccess.live. Take care and be well. Bye-bye.
This show is sponsored by CareManity, the publishers of How to Survive 911 Medical Emergencies, a step-by-step guide before, during, and after. For your own personalized free file of life, go to www.howtosurvive911.com. All trademarks, brands, and comments are not intended to be substitutes for medical, financial, or legal advice. Please consult a medical, legal, or financial professional for issues relevant to your own personal situation. This show is produced by CareManity LLC. All rights reserved. CareManity LLC.